Reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verse 27 onwards. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son, and he has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him."
Thank you, Daniel. I asked Daniel if he'd read that passage because a couple of weeks ago in the prayer meeting, I think it was, you'd read out almost the same passage. And I'd been thinking for some time about this whole subject of the Lord and increase. And it's in that passage right in the middle there. John says he must increase. And sometimes we just need to pick up, don't we, on what the Lord is saying. And I believe that's why I'm sharing from this passage today. We trust that it's the Lord who speaks. Powerful words, aren't they, from the Scripture? So much in that brief passage. So, as I say, in the middle of it, John says in verse 30, this stunning phrase. And remember that Jesus spoke of John as the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets, but then said this really staggering thing that the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Absolutely remarkable. So in the middle of this passage, John says these words that are familiar. He must increase, but I must decrease. And I just wanted to explore perhaps three things this morning together and trust that the Lord will speak clearly to our hearts. Again, we'll start in this passage and then maybe look at a few other scriptures as we go through. If you just come down to the very last verse that Daniel read for us there in verse 36, it says this: "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life." Amazing. We started this morning with Mark encouraging us from Wesley's journal, that unbelief can be chased away. The darkness of unbelief can be chased away. Glory, glory to Jesus. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And we read elsewhere in John, don't we? Jesus saying, this is the work of God, when they were having a debate, you know, about works. This is the work of God. What is it? That you believe. That you believe in Christ. And in fact, the whole of John, we read towards the end, was written for that purpose, that people should believe. And here it is, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And then this stark demarcation line, he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. The reason being, we remain under the wrath of God. I don't know if you've kind of fully appreciated the gravity of our situation outside of the saving, believing grace, if you like, as God opens our eyes and brings us to see that he is the one, the only one. Glory to his name. And if we believe on him, we have life. That's life with a big capital L, bubbling with abundance. We have tapped into the very source of truth and life and light and holiness and fruitfulness and fulfillment, and you can keep on going. Him, Jesus, the one and only. But the sobering truth on the other side of that is, if we don't believe in him, we have no life. We're dead. We're talking darkness and light. We're talking death and life. Hopelessness, the hope of glory. This is stark, isn't it? He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. When you read that scripture, I don't know what it does in your heart, but as I've been meditating on these things and thinking of he must increase, my response when I read that scripture and other scriptures is a prayer. Increase my faith, Lord. Increase our faith. The emphasis isn't our faith. The emphasis is faith in the one. Spurgeon says rather provocatively, we're not actually saved by faith, we're saved by Christ. I like what he did there. And we're trying to scrabble around for our scriptures and we're like, hang on a minute, I thought I was saved by faith. No, you're saved by Christ. Your faith in Christ is the means, if you like, for that salvific power to flood your life. But it's Christ who saves you. It's not about you having wonderful, big, shiny faith that everyone can go, wow, he's a man, she's a woman of faith. No, it's Christ. Faith in Christ. Glory to his name. Increase our faith in you, Lord Jesus. You, Lord Jesus, he must increase. He must increase. Increase our faith, Lord. And Jesus says, get this. We're like, increase our faith. I don't know what's going on in our hearts or in our minds when we say that. Perhaps we want to see bigger things. Perhaps we want to be more influential. And it can all be kind of good. And Jesus says, if you've got faith like a mustard seed, we're going, increase our faith. He says, all you need is a tiny mustard seed to connect with me. And I'll save you to the uttermost. He must increase. It's all about Jesus. It's always and ever will be about him. He must increase. Increase my faith, Lord, in you. Amen. Glory to his wonderful name. You remember in Luke 17, they actually say this. This is the apostles. They say to the Lord, increase our faith. And in that passage, the Lord says, If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Imagine. Imagine you're like, oh Lord, increase our faith, and he comes back to you with that. Or elsewhere, say to this mountain. I don't know how you go with like estimations of tough situations, but mulberry trees and mountains, I'm thinking the mountain's probably a bit tougher. But having said that, if a mustard seed of faith in Christ could say to a mulberry tree, up you go. Wow. This is provocative from the Lord, isn't it? Increase our faith. Increase our faith in you. In you. He is not diminished for one moment. Jesus. He is always and forever omnipotent, omniscient, omnibenevolent. He's not diminished for one moment. But somehow as we engage with the very source of life and light, truth, there is this exercising in our hearts, isn't there? In things divine, and we pray, increase our faith in you, Lord. Is that in your heart? He must increase. And the flip side of that, do you remember in Mark chapter 9? I tremble when I read stories like this. You remember the boy who was troubled by a dark spirit, awful symptoms, and Jesus comes into the mix. It's good when Jesus is in the mix. Even if it's an awful situation, if Jesus is in the mix, we're mixing things with faith in him. Glory to him. And Jesus asks his father about his boy, how long has this been happening to him? And his father says, you can hear the pain from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. The father recognizes this is demonic. It's destructive. There's a power at work to destroy, to rob. And then the dear dad, but if you can do anything, he's not coming with great bravado and really overflowing bucket loads of faith here. He's just through his tears and his anguish, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Can you hear? This isn't some great word of faith movement. No. Not at all. This is the real raw brokenness of humanity interfacing with the Christ. Oh, Jesus, you must increase. And Jesus says to him, amazing. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Increase our faith. And immediately the dad, he just cries out with tears. I love it. It's so real. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. This is the real deal, isn't it? You don't have to be polished. It doesn't have to be all neat and tidy and with the right scriptures in the right order. And Lord, I believe. Oh, help my unbelief. Increase our faith. Help our unbelief. Chase it away like Mark started. Chase away the darkness of unbelief in you. Amen. You, Jesus, you must increase. Bless the Lord. How are we doing? We're doing okay. Point number two. Let's crack on. Verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. Remarkable words. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. And as I was reading that, what came to mind was, increase our capacity. He must increase. Somehow, I don't fully understand it, but somehow in my heart, Lord, increase our capacity. You must increase. And you've ordained that in the new covenant, it's utterly staggering that God should dwell in man. Remember this verse from, you don't have to turn there, but from 2 Chronicles 6:18, but will God indeed dwell with men on the earth? This is the context, is Solomon's temple. It was a pretty splendid piece of craftsmanship, to be fair, wasn't it? But as the dedication of this is happening, behold heaven, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I've built? And then take it down a notch from the glory of that temple to the earthen vessels that fill this room. This temple. Heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. Apply this now this morning. How much less this temple? We read, don't we? We have this treasure. What is this treasure? Is it, this is nothing short of life itself. Himself, light and life, glory. In these earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Is this your prayer? Increase my capacity. How shall this be? And we know, don't we, even as we're pondering these things, we know this is not about physical capacity. We read later in 2 Corinthians, therefore we do not lose heart, even though this, if you like, this earthen vessel, this outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed, enlarged, transformed, transfigured day by day. There's something phenomenal going on in these fragile, vulnerable clay vessels which the Christ calls his home. So somehow increase our capacity, Lord, to not, we can't contain you, but somehow to contain and for you to flow out even through these vessels, even though physical capacity is limited and, sorry folks, diminishing. Increase our capacity in the inner man. We read in Psalm 119, you have enlarged my heart. I don't know if you've realized that when the Almighty God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, filled your life, joined your spirit with his spirit, you received into you the uncontainable God. The heaven of heavens cannot contain him. How much less this temple? But somehow he realizes that the heart that he has made has expandable quality. It can be enlarged. Have you discovered that? Oh, oh God, enlarge my heart. Enlarge our capacity to pray, to go out with you, Lord, on your mission. Increase our capacity. Is there a prayer like that in our hearts? I believe there is. In the last few prayer meetings, I sense the Lord's picking up pace. Increase our faith in you. Increase our capacity for you. Oh, bless his wonderful name. Listen, Wesley, we've been having a bit of a Wesley renaissance this morning. Don't know what's going on, but nice one with the journals, Mark. Enlarge, inflame, and fill my heart with boundless charity divine. Why? This is Charlie. So shall I all my strength exert and love them with a zeal like thine, and lead them to thine open side, the sheep for whom the shepherd died. Do you see what's happening there? Increase our capacity, not just so we can go, wow, I'm feeling really full and somewhat glorious. No. I'm going with you, Lord, with this new capacity. Even if I can't walk anymore, I'm going with you. Physically, maybe we're losing capacity. Inwardly, that light, my friends, is burning brighter and brighter to the perfect day. Though the outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We're in touch with divinity, who's on a global mission that is increasing. And of the increase, you know where we're going now, Isaiah? It's nearly Christmas again. And of the increase of his government, there shall be what? No end. Glory to his name. That should bring us hope when governments are all over the show. I say that respectfully. We should absolutely pray for governments, but you understand what I mean. Oh, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. This is the Christ. He must increase, and along with his increase, his prospering, his glory, his government, his kingdom. Oh, praise the Lord, you've got a bright future, my friends, but we want others to come with us. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us increase our faith. Help our unbelief. Increase our capacity. This treasure is in earthen vessels. And finally, I'm behaving myself, MJ. Finally. Oh, praise God for his word. Verse 27, where we started. Thanks for reading it, Daniel. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. And the point there is, it's God who gives the increase. A man can receive nothing unless it's given him from heaven. Listen, it's God who gives the increase. Without him, we can do nothing. You can read in 1 Corinthians, you're probably familiar with these. Paul saying, I love this, who then is Paul? Is it Paul the Apostle? Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? Just servants. Bond servants. Ministers. We've got this strange notion when someone says minister, we elevate. It's all topsy-turvy, that. What's that all about? Ministers. We worship a servant king. It's truly staggering, who holds all authority and yet delights still today to come and wash our feet. What is that? The ultimate public servant. Who? Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? Who's anyone? But ministers. Through whom you believed as the Lord gave. There's the onus. There's the emphasis. The Lord gives the increase. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything. It's just remarkable, isn't it? Shot through with the cross. The humility of heaven has really kind of soaked into this dear man. No one's anything. Planting, watering. No, God. God who gives the increase. Bless his wonderful name. You could read in Colossians. I'm going to speed up now. You might have thought it was going fast, but hold on to your hats. We're coming into land. Not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments. So this is a negative context of people who are not holding fast to the head. The point is they should be. And if we do hold fast to the head, what happens? The whole body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with what? The increase that's from God. That's the emphasis. United to him. God gives the increase, and what is the increase? Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May the Lord make you, make me increase and abound. There's a sense there, abounding is overflowing. I've been singing a song in the car. It's getting a little bit boring for the rest of the family, I think. But the refrain goes, stir a passion in my heart, Lord. Let it overflow. Let it overflow. Uncontainable. There's to be an overflow, my friends. And sometimes it's not about keeping it all together and then it just begins to overflow, but he breaks the vessel. And it's not so much an overflow like the meniscus builds and then it begins to trickle over, just gushing out here, there and everywhere. Glory to Jesus, the zeal for my Father's house has consumed me, he said. And on the cross, that overflow, like never before, pierced for our transgressions, spear into the side, and the overflow of God for a broken world. Oh, may the Lord make us increase. And you can read in John that other little bit, without him we can do nothing. Don't go there now, but John 5, Jesus speaking, I can do nothing by myself. John 8, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And then this amazing little clause, and I do nothing of myself. And then John 15, Jesus applies it to the followers of the Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. There's increase. Without me, nothing. Without me, nothing. You can do nothing. God gives the increase. Oh, Jesus. We're bang on 12. I think that clock's slightly fast. I think we need to, I want to respond with all my heart. He's stirring fresh in these days. The song I've been singing this a bit, let it rise, burn. Holy fire. All for you, Jesus. Who's with me? If you are and you can stand, let's just stand and seal the deal, so to speak, again this morning. says in Isaiah, you know what? The humble shall increase their joy in the Lord. In the Lord. It's Him. It's always and forever His glory. He's on the move. And if we're willing to go with Him just in simple humility, we just stand and say, Lord, number one, increase our faith. We believe. Help our unbelief. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, somehow we don't understand it, but increase our capacity. Our hearts have scope for enlargement, even, and sometimes it seems in His wisdom, as our physical capacities seem to diminish, He's enlarging the inner man. And it's for His glory. We don't get it, but it's for His glory. Oh, praise Him. And finally, as we stand here in His presence, we acknowledge together, none of us are anything. It's God. He gives the increase. So let's open up now, shall we, and be filled afresh. Amen. We're going to pray. Oh Lord, You see Your people here. Chase away the darkness of unbelief. Lord, everything that militates against our faith in You, chase it away, we pray. Break its power and release from these bondages of unbelief. Glory to Your name, Lord, we pray. Increase our faith in You, Lord Jesus. And our capacity, Lord, even when we feel up against it physically, Lord, enlarge our hearts, we ask. Somehow to contain, not contain, but receive afresh the uncontainable life of God. Oh Lord, increase our capacity in this sense. Enlarge our hearts, we pray. And together, glory to Your name, we acknowledge You are the one who gives the increase. So we give ourselves wholeheartedly to You, Lord, for You to do Your will in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, and for Your glory for all eternity. Amen, Lord. Amen.